Good afternoon. Today we're going to start talking about Phoenix Project Scheduler. And as you can see on the screen here, we have a basic schedule. And what we're going to learn about today is how to add costs and resources to the schedule. We're also going to learn about how to create filters, how to change calendars, and how to show the BCWS or planned value curve once we add the costs to the schedule. So the first thing that we're going to do here is let's just have a look at the screen. On the left side of the screen, we have information about the activities, including the activity ID, activity description, original duration, start and finish. Remember that when you are entering the information in the schedule, you do not add anything in the actual data, actual start and actual finish. This is not done once you initiate the schedule. It's done later on when you update the schedule on a regular basis. So what we're going to be doing right now, we're going to start learning about what's called the resource calendar. So as we mentioned in class, resources can be added in different ways. One way is to do it in the very detailed way, entering individual resources, like for example, carpenters or electricians or rebar or concrete or individual resources. That's one way of doing it. And each resource in this case is going to have its own unit. But again, the common unit among all of these resources in the end is going to be the cost of these resources. As we have agreed before, resources can be explained or translated into their money value. So that's one way of adding the resources, which is the most detailed and accurate way. However, there's another shortcut, which is a simplified way. It's not inaccurate, but it saves a lot of time, which is basically going through the step of translating all the resources into their money value, which means we're going to represent only one resource, and in this case we're going to call it cash. So let's go ahead and see how we're going to do that. If you go to the drop down menu called info and you click on resource library, this is the tab that we're looking for. So we're going to look at this resource library tab. We're going to click on it, and as you can see here, it shows a blank screen since we haven't added any resources yet. So what we're going to do next is going to add a new resource. Click on add, and here we're going to enter the name of the resource. The name for of this resource, we're going to call it cash. And it's asking us whether it's labor, non-labor, or material. It's neither labor nor material, so we're going to select non-labor. And the unit label, we're going to call it US dollars. Maximum. What is the maximum amount that you can that's going to be available to you on a time unit basis? We selected the time unit to be the day. So basically, we're asking here, what's the maximum allowable amount for you to spend every day? Let's enter here 100,000, for example. And then it's asking us about the monetary value of that resource. The translation between this resource and money is 1-to-1 because the units are dollars and the cost is in dollars. So it's going to be billed per day, and the rate is going to be 1, and the cost per use is going to be 1. So now that we have identified the resource that we're going to be using, we're just going to add it to our resource library, and here it appears that's the resource that we have. So now we're going to click OK, accepting this resource. That's the very simple way of selecting resources for our project. The next step is going to be to apply these resources to the different activities. So I'm going to go to one activity here, for example, let's say site mobilization. And what we're going to do here, as you can see, these are the different drop-down menus. So now we are going to assign this resource to the activity. So here we are going to select, double click on the activity to show the activity viewer at the bottom of the screen. We can, the activity editor here. Remember here, we do not enter anything under budget. We do not enter anything under cost today for the time being. So this is not where we're going to be adding our resources. So now we're going to select the resource assignment window. So we're going to click on this icon here, and this shows the resource assignment window for this activity. So now we're going to go to the library to select which resource, assuming that you have multiple resources. In this case, we have only one resource. So if I click on library, it's going to show me the available resource that we have. So I'm going to select this and click on add. We're just going to select this and add it to our activity. And let's see here. So we're going to add the resource. So we're going to select cash. And how much are we going to spend for this activity? So the question now is, how are we going to allocate this resource to the activity? Is it going to be distributed along the duration of the activity? As we have agreed in class, we have three different types of allocations. If it's going to be self-performed, if the activity is going to be self-performed, we're going to spend each and every day of performing this activity. So we're going to have it as prorated. On the other hand, if the activity is going to be subcontracted, you are going to pay your subcontractor at the end of doing the activity, so it's going to be at the end. If it's a long lead item that you have to pay for in advance, then in this case, we're going to select start. So what we're going to do here, we're going to allocate how much money are we going to spend on site mobilization. For example, let's say $25,000. Now, this is going to be a self-performed activity, so we're going to leave it as prorated, and now we're going to click OK. Notice what happened here. The duration of this activity was 5 days. The budgeted amount was $25,000. We agreed that it's going to be prorated, so it's showing us the daily cost for this activity, which is going to be the $25,000 divided by the duration, 5 days, so it's $5,000. Now let's go to the next activity, site clearing. And here again, we're going to add the resource. We're going to select this cash. How much money are we going to allocate for that? Let's say it's going to be $12,000. And let's say that we're going to hire a subcontractor to clear the site. So in this case, it's going to be paid in the end. And we're going to say OK. So now it shows that the $12,000 are going to be applied to this activity. If it were to be prorated, it would have been $1,200 per day. The next activity, excavation for foundations. Again, let's say it's going to be subcontracted. So we're going to select our resource. And the excavation, let's say, is going to be $32,000. And this is also going to be in the end. And OK. And this is basically the idea. You can see how to add the resources to the different activities. Assuming now that we have added the resources for all of these activities, we want to have a look at how is the S-curve going to look like? How is the planned cost curve going to look like? So basically, in this case, we're going to go to this tab, this icon, toggle time scaled graphs, and we're going to create a new graph. Notice here it opened this window at the bottom of the screen. We're going to create a new graph. So the graph that we're going to do is for the resource that we have, which is cash. We're going to select cash, and in this case it doesn't matter whether you're going to do costs or units because the translation is 1-to-1. We do not want current dates because, again, current date means that after updating the project, that includes the actual start, the actual finish, etc. But for the time being, we're going to use the original dates and we're going to select the early dates. That's how we're going to portray this S-curve for the original dates. Do you want to show it as a histogram or as a curve? Let's say for the beginning, we're going to show it as a curve. And now we're going to add it. And we're going to say OK. And now we want to show it here at the bottom of the screen. So this is for the activities that we have added. Of course, if you have added it for all the activities, it would show you the S curve for the whole project. Let's say now I want to show this curve in a different way. I want to show it as a histogram, showing day by day how much money is going to be allocated or spent. I can create a new curve. And in this case, it's going to be pretty much the same thing. The only difference is going to be I'm going to select histogram instead of selecting curve, and I'm going to add, and I'm going to select OK. And now I can select this one, and here it shows the resource allocation pretty much per day or per time period, showing how much money is going to be spent. Again, if you do that for all the activities, it's going to show you the ups and downs of the resource profile or the resource allocation curve. So this is the first part of our discussion about how to add costs and resources to the different activities. Now let's proceed to the next part, which is talking about calendars. Let's say you have an architect engineer who works only 5 days a week, whereas the site is going to work 6 days a week. The architect engineer has some activities related to the approval of submittals, the approval of shop drawings, some inspections, and so on. So these are going to be done only on a 5-day basis, whereas the site is going to be working on a 6-workday basis. Can we allocate more than one calendar for the same project? The answer is yes. How many calendars can we apply for one project? As many as you want, or as many as the project needs. So let's go ahead and see how are we going to create a calendar or modify an existing calendar, and how can we allocate different calendars to different activities. So if you go again to the tab called Info, you're going to find that the second selection here is calendars. We are going to click on this calendars, and now it shows here some default calendars that have been built into the schedule. One of them is a 5-day calendar, and notice this check mark here that shows that this is the default calendar, which means if you do not change it, all the activities are going to be following that 5-workday calendar. The second one is a 6-day, and the third one is a 7-day. We can add other calendars as we want, as needed for the project. Now notice on the right side of the screen here we have, it shows by default our day today as highlighted. And if I click on the 5-day calendar, notice here that all the days have the same color. When it comes to work days, none of these boxes is checked. Notice what's going to happen when I click on the 5-day calendar. Now it shows that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday are checked, whereas Sunday and Saturday are not checked, which means these are the non-work days and the other 5 are the work days. Now, if I go to the 6-day calendar, what's going to happen is that Saturday is going to be considered as a work day. So notice here that Saturday also is checked. And the only day that appears in red, which is the non-work day, this is Sunday. For the 7-day, of course, all the days are going to be checked, which means the site is working 7 days a week. So let's go back to the 5-day calendar. Assuming that, for example, our project is going to last for a year. Are we going to work on the 4th of July? Probably not. Are we going to work on December 25th, Christmas Day? Probably not. So let us designate these as non-work days, so that if work comes through these days, it's going to jump over that day and count the following work day as a continuation of the previous work. So let's go to July, and July 4th this year is going to be on a Wednesday. So I'm going to click on July 4th, and I'm going to select it as set as non-work. Notice what's going to happen when I do that. It has changed its color to red, which means now it's a non-work day. I can do the same thing for December, and I can select December 25th. Currently, it's a work day, so we're going to change that, and we're going to call it a non-work day. And there it is. Now, let's say I want to assign a 6-workday calendar to backfilling and compaction, for example. So here I'm going to accept these calendars, okay? And now I'm going to go to the activity backfilling and compaction, highlight it. And look at the activity editor here at the bottom. It shows calendar, a tab called calendar. If you click on this down arrow, it's going to show you what are the available calendars based on what we have created or what we have edited. So if I click on this arrow, it's going to show me the 5-day calendar, the 6-day calendar, the 7-day calendar. Let's say we're going to select the 6-day calendar for this activity. So here it is, 6-day, and enter. Now we have assigned this activity to a 6-workday week. We can do the same for the other activities as well. So you might, as we mentioned, you can have multiple calendars for the same project depending on the needs and depending on the different parties' work schedule. So that's the second part that covers the area of calendars. Of course, you can change a work day into a non-work day and vice versa by checking the box that has this day, or just selecting one particular day and marking it as a non-work day or as a work day. The third step that we want to achieve today is looking at creating sub-schedules from my master schedule. If I have a project that has 3,000 activities, 5,000 activities, and I have multiple subcontractors, let's say I have 30 subcontractors. Some of them have activities that are maybe 150 activities, but some of them have maybe 3 or 4 activities. It doesn't make much sense to give all of them copies of the same master schedule that has 5,000 activities. They're going to be totally lost. So the solution in this case is for me to create a sub-schedule from the master schedule. Does that mean that for each one of these different subcontractors, I'm going to create a new schedule? Again, that would be a waste of time. But if you develop your schedule correctly the first time, we are going to add tags to certain activities, or we are going to create filters through which we're going to pull all the activities and then set criteria for the opening of that filter, which activities can pass through and which activities are going to be withheld. So this concept is called filters, and that's one of the strong features of any scheduling software. Some softwares do have it, some softwares do not have it, so that would be an indication of whether that software is really professional and practical or not. So let's go ahead. How to create a filter? Again, look at these icons. You're going to find one that looks like a funnel, and that's basically what a filter is. So now we're going to create a filter. Let's say, for example, as you can see here on the screen, let's make these parts disappear. We don't need them. And we don't need the activity editor either. If you look at the schedule, you're going to find that we have some critical activities, the ones that are shown in red, and some non-critical activities, which are the ones that are shown in green. And let's say now I want to focus primarily on the critical activities. That's going to be my main concern, because these are the ones that really affect the total duration of the project. So how are we going to do that? I want to tell the software, look at all the activities. If the activity is critical, select it. If it is not critical, set it aside. What is the main criterion for a critical activity? A critical activity has a total float equal to 0 before updating the project or anything like that, before having negative total float, which may happen if the project is behind schedule. So for the time being, a critical activity is one that has 0 total float. So we're going to tell the filter, we're going to create a filter telling it, please select the activity if its total float is equal to 0. If it's more than 0, do not select it, which means if it's non-critical, we're not currently interested in it. So I'm going to click on filters, and here it's going to show that it already has some filters built in. Let's say I'm going to create a new filter to start from scratch, and I'm going to call it critical activities only. So we're going to add new criterion. So what the criteria, which field am I going to be looking at? I'm going to be looking at the total float. So in this drop down menu, I'm going to scroll down until I find the total float. Here it is. Now, do I want to select critical or non-critical activities? If I look at the equality here, it says either is equal to or is greater than or equal to, less than or equal to, and so on and so forth. So the one that I'm looking for is equal to 0. That's basically the value that I'm looking for the critical activities. So I'm going to select is equal to, and we accept 0, and I'm going to say OK. And now I'm going to select this filter, critical activities only. I'm going to add to the active filters, which is at the bottom of the screen. And I'm going to say apply and OK. And there it is. Now we have only the critical activities. Let's say I'm done with that and I want to go back to the whole schedule, including critical and non-critical. So I'm going to go to the filters again, and I'm going to clear the filter. I don't want to delete it. I just want to clear it from this box. So it's going to go back to the top box. So clear filters, apply, and OK. And here I have all the activities again. Now let's create another very common and popular and professional filter, which is I want to focus only on the activities that are going to be done next month or the next 6 weeks or the next 8 weeks, which is called a look-ahead schedule. It could be, the most common one is a 6 week look-ahead schedule or 8 week look-ahead schedule. So how are we going to designate that? It's going to be based on dates. So basically, I'm going to tell the software that I want to create a filter that shows the activities that have a start date or an early date, start or finish. So if this activity is going to start or finish between today and the next 6 weeks, select this activity. If not, do not select it. So I'm going to go here again to filters, and I'm going to create a new filter, and I'm going to call it 6 week look ahead. Now we're going to add the criteria. So what am I going to be looking for? I'm looking for, is it looking at actual start or actual finish or actual dates? No. Is it looking at early start or early finish? Not only that, but both of them. So I'm going to select early dates. Select if early dates is equal to something or is within a certain range. Now I want it to be between today and 6 weeks later. So I'm going to go again to my equality and I'm going to select within range. Notice that as soon as I set dates, it recognized that the values are going to be dates. So it showed me a calendar. So I'm going to select between, let's say the project here starts in February of 2017. So I'm going to go to the calendar of 2017. And let's say beginning February 1st, 2017. And ending on 6 weeks later. So let's say mid-March 2017. So that's a 6 week look ahead. I'm going to say okay. And now I'm going to add my filter to the active filters. I'm going to say apply and okay. And now it shows me the activities that are going to take place if their early dates are between February 1st and March 15th. Notice that it shows an activity that ends after March 15th because its start was within that range. So if the start or the end of the activity fall within that range, it's going to be selected. Now I have seen this. So what I'm going to do, go back to now is I'm going to go back to remove this filter, clear filters, and apply, okay, and we're back to the whole schedule. So in our discussion today, we have learned a few things. One is learning about resources and cost, how to add resources and cost to the project, and how to apply these costs to the different activities, and how to draw the graph, the smooth curve, the S-curve, BCWS, or planned value, and how also to show the resource loading histogram for individual units of time. And then we learned about the calendars, how to create new calendars, or how to edit existing calendars by adding work days or non-work days, and how to assign or allocate these calendars to the different activities. And we agreed that the project can have multiple calendars. And then finally, we learned about the filters. How can we, from one master schedule, how can we select sub-schedules depending on what are we looking for, whether it's only critical activities or activities that are done within a period of time. Later on, we are going to learn about another kind of tags, which is called activity codes, that also enables us, which are fields that we create on our own. We can customize the schedule whichever way we want. And these are going to be tools or tags that are going to enable us to select and sort different activities in different filters based on these codes. That is the end of our discussion for today. So until next time, I'm going to see you in another lesson about working with Phoenix Project Schedule. Thank you.